As we remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, let us always remember that you formed us and knew us before we were born. Before the world began, you chose us and loved us in Christ to stand holy and blameless before your throne. You created us in your image and likeness as an expression of your unconditional love. Increase in us this remembrance that we are created to love. Let us never forget that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we ask all this in the name of your Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. That one line from the psalm, it's marvelous in my eyes, you know, that one thing. Allegedly, tradition has it that that's what Elizabeth I said when they came to tell her that her sister, Mary, had died. And that was what she quoted, was that line from that psalm. Anyhow, I just... No? Nothing, eh? Okay, I thought it was an interesting... I don't know, I liked it. And then we have our Luke reading, which is pretty intense, I think. Jesus' way to get our attention. And I think, or I believe now, that it's the ability to give up. It doesn't mean you... It's just how wonderful to be free from the lure of things and things that tie us down, you know. And anyhow, pottery. It is one of the most enduring materials in humankind. It is one of the oldest and widespread art. Peoples all over the world have fashioned pots and bowls of baked clay for their daily use. Now, I used to live in a little town outside of Tweed, Ontario. Who knows where that is? Oi. Good. Okay, you've been to Tweed? We'll talk later. Anyhow, I lived there for 6 or 7 years, and one of the things that was there was this lake. And what you would do, and it had marl in it. Ron would know this better, the research I did, which is a combination with limestone. Anyhow, so what we would do is we would go to this lake and we would run in the days when I could run, and we would run and we would skate, literally slide on this white stuff known as marl. And when we would come out, we were totally white. Well, we thought that was the funniest thing. Anyhow, we really enjoyed it. And Marlbank, like Texada actually, in its heyday, they used to use this material for, one of the things they used it for was fertilizer. And it, like Texada, in its heyday, had 4 saloons, 3 hotels, 2 doctors, unheard of, and a huge population of 8,000 is now down to about 100. And an interesting thing about Marlbank, this is just an aside, there was a guy who lived there who now I know was like, he was a guy who dressed up as a woman. I mean, I knew this, I know, okay. And they would, and you would think Marlbank, you'd think, you know, Eastern Ontario, weird. It was quite acceptable. People would pick him up, he'd hitchhike on the road, so anyhow. I don't know why I had to share that with you, but I did. Now, the other thing I had there was I had some friends, and they made pottery. They still do. Pam and Jeff Bailey Brown, and they would take this pottery, and they would go all over in Canada and the U.S. and sell this pottery. And, you know, I used to think, how hard can this be? So I said, let me try. So, like this, and you sit down. In the days when I could squat, and the wheel goes round and round, and you have to do it. So I thought, how hard can this be? It was a mess. I had an image in my mind of this beautiful vase, and all I got, despite my effort, was a lopsided, misshapen lump of clay. Who does pottery here? No? You've tried. I know, it's not that easy, is it? I know. Of course, then again, I also went to the dentist when I was a kid, when the drill was done with his foot. Okay, so we've come a long way. Anybody have that? Okay, yeah, here we go. That's why we're all traumatized going to the dentist. So, as hard as I tried, I could not create a beautiful, unique, exquisite bowl. So in the spiritual realm, it's God who makes all creation unique. And we noticed in the reading from Jeremiah, the pot was unique. It's God who makes all creation unique, the animals, the birds, the flora, the fauna, and humans, and signs his name on our collective souls. All of nature, this is the second Sunday of the season of creation, all of nature belongs to the Creator. There is no separation between us and the natural world. And we are all filled with divine essence breathed into us at creation. If you go to the Genesis story, and God breathed ruach, holy breath. All of creation is the sacred, holy expression of God's love for all. And God looked over all that had been created and proclaimed it was very good, Genesis 1:31. So in today's reading from Jeremiah, God tells the prophet to go down to the potter's house. And Jeremiah obeys. And when he enters the room, he sees the potter working at his wheel. But the pot he was making didn't turn out so good. And he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. God explains to Jeremiah, this is the context of this story, God explains to Jeremiah that this is what he's trying to do with the house of Israel. Remake them as a nation into the beautiful creation that God had always intended them to be. Now, we think the message probably came sometime before the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC, and it fell at the hands of Babylonians. Nasty. It was a very nasty war. It went on for months. There's evidence of cannibalism. They cut off the water supply. It was a siege. It was pretty nasty. God, through Jeremiah, is warning Israel of the destruction that is coming, but they're not listening. God was prepared to change his mind, but they were not willing to change theirs. Like you and I, our spiritual ancestors insisted on their own way, regardless of the consequences. It's called the 3M theory. Me, myself, and me again. Nothing much has changed. The consequences of bad decisions are the same. God pleads with his people. He says, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn all and come back to me. The sacking of the Temple of Solomon, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the exile of a people would soon follow. The kingdom was divided, and never again would the children of Israel have their own anointed and appointed king. So the whole analogy of the potter and clay, I don't know, it might seem kind of simplistic to us. You might go, oh yeah, the potter and the clay. And we might say, look, I'm a really smart person, and I believe I'm quite capable of finding things on my own. We might think we don't need anybody. So I began to think about what it is that shapes our thinking, what it is that shapes our worldview, how we view life around us. The question becomes, if we're not being molded by God or shaped by God, then whom or what are we being shaped by? Are we being shaped by our thought processes? Good luck with that one, because that's pretty scary. That doesn't mean you shouldn't think. Of course you should think. Are we being molded by our emotions, which can be unreliable and not the best gauge for discernment? Are we being shaped by the opinions of others? That can happen. Are we being shaped by a consumer-driven culture? One more iPad, one more designer outfit, and I will be fulfilled? I don't know, maybe we're being molded by the most popular trend. It feels good, do it. The one who has the most toys wins. You can never be too rich or too thin. And you know who said that? The Duchess of Windsor, thank you. Are we being molded by a daily spiritual practice, a prayer and reflection? Are we, if we're being shaped by something or someone, so what is it? And getting out of warm beds on this September Sunday suggests that some part of us wants to be molded by God. It is because each one of us, and I believe this is so deep in our spiritual DNA, is searching for something beyond ourselves to shape us, to mold us, and to transform us. We are God-centered, Christ-centered, and Spirit-filled creations with free will. Oh, the old free will thing. Free will to make our own choices. We can choose holy habits, or we can choose habits that aren't so holy. And this makes us different from all other creatures. We can choose to follow God's way as we understand it, or choose to follow our own way. God's desire for us is to be better, not bitter, to think more clearly, to love ourselves, and to love others more dearly. And God will never, ever, ever force, but only ask for open hearts so that the life and love of Christ can be poured into every aspect of our lives. Imagine yourself as a jug, a pottery jug without a lid. And God can just pour his love into us so that we can take that living water and pour it out, and divine hands can form us into a new creation. Scripture uses the image of pottery several times in Isaiah. Woe to you who strive or fight with your maker, earthen vessels with the potter. Does the clay say to the one who fashions it, what are you making? Or has your work no handles? And then Isaiah again in Isaiah 64. Oh yes, Lord, you are our father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are the work of your hands. Now, Paul uses the same analogy when he writes in 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure, you know this one. We have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come to us. And in Paul's analogy, there's holes. You know, have you ever seen a garlic container that has holes in it? It's the same principle. We have holes in it. But we have holes in it so the light and the love of Christ can shine out. So everyone says, I got to wear sunglasses when I meet you. Anyhow. And we are the clay jars that God fashions and uses. Yet most of us are fragile. Most of us are worn around the edges. And maybe some of us have a few scars just from living. But Scripture is full of fallible people that God uses anyway. And God continues to use and work on the children of Israel. And the destruction of Jerusalem was not the end of the story. The good news is that God will not give up on any one of us. And here's this beautiful passage from Zechariah. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. For God is not finished with us yet. And we do get tired, and we do get frustrated, and we do really want to change and be molded by God, but it seems that we keep on making the same mistakes. Anybody do that? Make the same mistakes over and over again? That's a definition of madness, actually. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. We might intend to say something nice to a difficult person, we know, but once again, we think something unkind. And we get tired of trying and we throw up our hands in frustration. But this is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. We get to start all over again. Every morning I wake up and say, Lord, you gave me another chance to get it right. Again. We're here. And we made it because we believe that God can and will continue to shape each of us. Now, the final thing about pottery is that when it has been fired in the kiln, what's the only way to change it? To break it. That tells us a couple of things. First, that we need to stay in a state of being transformed so that God can continue to work. And don't give up, because God never gives up. And secondly, we have to be broken sometimes before we give it up and give it over our lives to God. David wrote in Psalm 51:17, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Sometimes, you know, I certainly, like you, I've come to the point where I just say, this is crazy. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired and it's not working. I need you now. Little arrow prayer. So God needs to break sometimes our hearts of stone and turn them into hearts of love. So maybe a prayer that we could have is, Lord, break my heart. There's a song. Mold me, make me. What is that song? Anyhow, it's something we sing. Mold me, make. Change my heart, O Lord, and let it be. Yeah, that one. We could sing that one. What is it? Spirit of the living God. Is that what it is? Can you play that one? Okay. So, in final. Don't be afraid. Don't ever be afraid. Which is something Ruth Taylor said to me. She was never afraid of what God had to do in her life, ever. Regardless of where she was or, you know, and she said that to me as she was lying in that bed in Extendicare. I'll never forget it. Those bright blue eyes going, I'm never afraid of God, what God's doing in my life. And let God shape us and mold us and recreate us all the time into the people God wants us to be. A second century Christian named Irenaeus wrote a poem that expresses this so much better than I ever could. Its title is From God's Own Hands. It is not you who shape God. It is God that shapes you. If then you are the work of God, await the hand of the artist who does all things in due season. Offer the part of your heart soft and tractable, and keep the form in which the artist has fashioned you. Let your clay be moist. Test you as you go hard and lose the imprint of the Creator's hand. Let us pray. God of delight, source of all joy, thank you for making us part of the web, depending on the rhythms and fruits of the earth for our existence. Help us to be wholly present to you now in this place where our feet are on holy ground and where we are surrounded by creation's gifts from the concrete to the clouds. Truly, O Lord, the earth is full of your riches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.